On this day, we remember the Wimbledon players that gave their lives during World War One: Alfred Edward Meares, Robert Law, Edward Hendon, Reginald Caswell, and Thomas Skelton Brown. Thanks to Ray Armfield for posting this on socials and for club historian Bert Dale for doing the research. Okay, right then. Well, that's we're recording this on Remembrance Day on the 11th of November, but also today we've got a full show for you, and I'm delighted that I am now joined not just by Adam Proctor, who was here last week when we just yakked on for ages, but also by regular Mon Frere Niall Cooper and our incredible special guest Xavier Wiggins, D-Lag. Entrepreneur, former chair of the Don's Trust board, an all-round good guy. I mean, there's not an award that hasn't been won without Zav's name on it. Welcome to you all. Let us start off having a look back.
Sam, have you got an Oscar?
No,
Just put it out there.
not
Has he got an Oscar?
ridiculous.
But I think if people could see this, then you could see the way that Zav is lying back in that pose. He's got that sort of
I mean, I'm
unnatural
not saying clearly Zav
Zav.
is worthy of an Oscar. I don't doubt it, but I'm just saying I don't think he has an Oscar. That's all I'm saying, Matt. So I don't think there are awards just been out there that he hasn't actually won. Sorry, dear listener.
Excellent. Excellent. And this sets the tone for it. We're trying to get everything done in an hour. I can't see a problem. Our first thing today we're going to chat about is the Grimsby game. And the question I want to ask everyone is, are we worried? Because I think if I'm right, this is our third league loss on the bounce. So that's Notts County, Port Vale, and Saturday's game against Grimsby. And the Grimsby one, I think, particularly hurt because, it was 100% record. We won all our games at home. Is there something wrong? Is this a bit, or is it just that we are playing the sides in at the top of the table?
No, Matt, it's my fault. I want to apologise to everybody that I have missed a number of games recently, and they happen to be all the games we've won. And the games I have gone to are Notts County, Port Vale, and Grimsby in the last month or whatever. I've missed every other game, all the other games, victories. I'm responsible. So I want to apologise to all Wimbledon fans everywhere for me clearly being the curse. I can't think of any other reason. We played well in all three games and we lost a lot, so it must clearly be me. Clearly
I
me.
knew Niall was going to say that. Yeah, I blame Niall. Everything on Niall. Yeah,
We have a victim complex running through this podcast, so that's the way. But I did. What did we do much wrong? I mean, obviously, the goal for Grimsby was, it was a goalkeeping error. Goodman didn't come for it, and there seemed to be some confusion between him.
well, it looked like he didn't decide what he was going to do. I watched the replays, and it doesn't look as bad as it looked in person to me. I mean, we have got a pretty good vantage point where we were. He didn't seem to make a decision, which was a bit frustrating. I think I thought it was a really good game, actually. I think we deserved a point out of it. Unfortunately, we didn't get that. I think Grimsby played a very good defensive game as well. I enjoyed the match actually a lot, even though we lost. It didn't actually ruin my weekend as most other losses do. So yeah, I don't think it's a problem. I think we our away form continues to be problematic for whatever reason that is. Let's hope we can turn that around. Home form, Grimsby were just very well set up. They had the weird 4-1-4-1 formation, and they knew what they were doing, and Gordon made a mistake.
And of course,
I
there
think
was the goal that was disallowed, that and that looks like that should have stood when the keeper drops it and Stevens pokes it in. So it's those little things.
Yeah, I mean the ref was terrible as ever, but that's like normal. I'm used to that stuff. The lino was like on our side, like made some shocking decisions. I just don't believe it, but whatever.
I thought the referee was very weak, actually. Thought and the linos, like, being about to flag on at least two occasions, and then the ref who was five times further away than the lino decided to call it. So I thought it was really poor. Grimsby played it brilliantly. You can see why
Yeah.
they've got that away record. And I think it just coincided with Smith. I mean, if you compare the Smith of Saturday compared to the Smith at franchise, it was a different, it was a totally different player, really, because their four snaffled us in the middle. So I just think, yeah, it was poor. I think we're still in a good. I think I think we've still got a much, much better squad and load more. I'd be very surprised if we don't make the playoffs. And yeah, I just I think there were maybe two or three players not quite on it, and I've been worried about Goodman from the start, if I'm honest. I just don't. I think he might. I just he's just got the air of Nathan Trotts to me.
He's a confidence goalkeeper. Oh.
Yeah, I just can't. I'm just really old fashioned when it comes to keepers. I want them uglier and louder and scarier. I really don't want.
And called
It
Aaron Ramsdale.
doesn't matter if he's got a lovely kind of double barrier and he's silky saves and all that. It just doesn't matter to me if they don't talk. You've got to have a talking goalie, and I just don't. He's not there yet because he's young.
Yeah.
He's gonna improve on that front, and he'll be getting all the good coaching. And there's plenty of basics that he's got. But if he's not talking, I think you've got a problem.
Yeah, you want a keeper that's actually gonna just knock people out of the way. That's what you really want. And
Yeah.
you just don't get that sense.
No. You had I mean I was a dad manager for a few years and my son's a goalie. And so he was alternating with a keeper who ended up at Brentford. And it was funny, Brentford he was this keeper was very much like kind of Nathan Trott mould, really. He's ended up being picked as an international for Zimbabwe, believe it or not. So he's clearly not a bad keeper, but the first thing Brentford did with him was ask him to go and speak to the when he turns up for training, go and speak to the groundsman, go and speak to the tea lady, go and speak to a senior player and basically get him talking. Because you can't be a keeper with any aspirations if you're not gonna talk and give your defence confidence.
Yeah. I mean, we've been spoilt recently with keepers. I thought Bass was an exceptional keeper. I mean, I think we're all disappointed that we didn't get him permanently. But obviously, that comes down to budgets, which we'll talk later on, I guess. Yeah, it was a real shame. I mean, I part of me is wondering if are we predictable in a way? We're going down the wings. I mean, I thought again, Neufeld and Tilly played really well. They've got the beating of their men so many times. They're putting the balls into the area, but we're not winning that. Like the first ball is being cut out.
I think they're like two new signings, really. I mean, if you think that Craig Cope had a good summer, and then he's all of a sudden, because of the formation we're playing and because of the 3-5-2 is kind of working,
Yeah.
all of a sudden it looks like he's got two bonus players
Yeah.
chucked in. And someone's in Tilly's ear, I don't know which one it is, but someone's in Tilly's ear saying, when you get the ball, just get it in first time. And it doesn't actually matter. Don't worry about perfection. Just get it in, first time, whenever he can. That's really, really noticeable. So just so impressed with him. Neuville doesn't, I don't think, read the game quite as well as Tilly, but his I think they've both been fantastic, real bright spots of the season.
Yeah. And I'm wondering because the next two games, obviously Barrow away, which is going to be tricky, and then at home to Accrington, I think we've found a bit of form. But both Omar and Miles Hippolyte are going to be away on international duty. I'm not sure we'll miss Miles. I mean, and I don't know how near Alex Reeves is to being back. But
Increase too.
Omar, I think, is going to be a tricky one. I mean, because I'm assuming Piggs is going to. He's going to be our main man for for those two games.
I'm just wondering where you got Alex Reeves from.
Alex
Yeah, I was
Reeves.
thinking that. Jake Reeves,
Jake
Matt.
Reeves.
Yeah.
Then we got
Okay.
both of them back, apparently.
Yeah,
Sorry,
that's right.
Alexandre, because
Dear me.
Alex is going to make a big difference for us, I think.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to him playing.
I could like just like a new signing.
Yeah,
It
we're
would
just
be
like a
like a
new
new
signing.
signing.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Dear me.
Where what position do you
I
think
don't
Alex
even know if I've got
plays?
the. I don't think I've got the right wrong player. Who scored the two own goals?
Hey, look, this podcast is not known for its accuracy. It's fine.
Fine. I've got to say one thing though, that I'm in contact with a bit of some of the Grimsby people, and they gave me all the stats about Wimbledon afterwards. And their stats and analysis of us as a club is that we are comfortably in the top five of League Two clubs in terms of their statistical analysis of us at the moment. So we're just underperforming a little bit, but that's their analysis of how we've been playing. And that's what they've been, that's their all of their data analysis. So it's quite interesting to see that.
Fair enough.
And at
Yeah,
Grimsby,
that doesn't
unfortunately, are an
surprise me.
immensely nice club off the pitch. So.
Yeah, they're great support. And proper, like, they look like they're enjoying themselves as well. I think there haven't been many supports at Plough Lane away supports like that I can remember, even last season when teams were winning that were really quite as animated as them. So fair play to them. It's good.
Do you remember Zav 89 when they came down with all their inflatable fish?
You're having a mare tonight, Matthew. You mean 88 in the FA Cup run?
No,
No, because
we
it would have
didn't
been
play them. We
89,
didn't play them in
Zav.
88 in the FA Cup run. Thank you very much.
Of course we didn't. It was the fifth round the year later, wasn't it?
Yes, it
89,
was
spot
89.
on. One
Thank
all.
you.
One all. I do remember. I was there. Yeah, 7,000 with Haddocks. Yeah. Yeah, brilliant.
That was great. They had to have a coach full of inflatable haddocks they were giving out to all of their fans when they arrived. It was
I feel
just,
like you know what it is, though. It's a black and white stripes I got confused with fifth round.
yeah, that's what it is. You take that, and I'll take the fact
Often.
that Reeves has got a common name with other people called Reeves.
Whereas it just happens to be that Zab's just confused Newcastle United, slightly big club, with Grimsby because they're both from the north and playing black and white. So that's
Exactly.
fine.
Exactly. Although they did play in this, it was kind of a weird pallid sort of Watford
Oh,
number, wasn't it?
God, it was dreadful.
Really
Sorry.
odd. It was a very Sunday league kit, I thought. It was kind of they've forgotten their kit and they've borrowed one from someone in the Surrey Youth League or something.
Was a dreadful kit. That is true. That's true. I'm going to bring the mood down a little bit though on this, because it was coming up to half time in the game. I don't know, Zav, if you've got any notice of this, but we did that. There was a message posted on socials
LinkedIn.
on LinkedIn from our ex-CEO Danny Macklin, which almost read like a
Well, it read like a
suicide note.
suicide note. Totally. It was awful.
Yeah.
So I was like, we'd just gone 1-0 down. And I just was like checking social, feeling sorry for myself and saw it. It's the first comment I managed to, whatever. And it's like, knowing Danny's whole mental health issues, which are well documented, when you read that, I was like not able to concentrate on the game because we were busy contacting the DTB, the Don's Trust boards. Matt went off to find the police and stuff like that and get it reported and escalated. And by half time, the club had, got the Essex police involved and everything like that. So there's a lot of stuff the club had been behind the scenes while that was all going on. So while everybody else was watching us trying to get an equaliser, there were so many people rallying around, having read that note. I don't know. I think he might have taken it down now, but it was really dark and really
It
difficult to
was
read.
very, very sad and very dark. Although I do notice that he posted on Twitter a couple of hours ago, in response to Kenny Jackett standing down at Gillingham. So he said so. He's active on socials. I haven't looked into the rest of it, but yeah, hugely worrying. And I just hope he gets help again.
He was found, wasn't he,
Yeah,
by
me
his
too.
nephew, I think, who's
Yeah.
found him. But it was a dark time. In a weird way, this kind of leads me on to talking about the stuff that DLAG does, because obviously, Zav, you're working with people all the time who are, either find themselves in, for no reason of their own, bad mental ill health, or need help in one way or another.
Yeah.
And it's great, it's fantastic the work you do. And after the Grimsby game, there was the it was the fourth, am I right? Fourth big sleep out at
Yeah.
the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was the fourth. It was a really good night. It was very I don't know. The first three, it all got a little bit. We raised really good money in the first three, but they'd kind of they weren't quite as wholesome as this one. It's difficult to explain. We had a lot of our charity partners doing it this time around. So Tooting Community Kitchen, Faith in Action, Olive Branch Aid, Chantel's Community Kitchen, and things, and they were kind of entering teams of four or five and getting just on the basis that we supply what I think about half of our food goes to partners and food banks and other charities, and they a lot of them just couldn't survive without the stuff that they get from us. So this was them kind of coming back and helping us a little bit because it costs quite a lot of money to do what we do. So the sleep out was crucial. So that was really good. But your point about kind of working with people with mental health issues, I just think that we've got an incredible ecosystem that a lot of people don't see that is really building, I mean, like corporates, for example, that work with DLAG now. It's Unilever, it's Microsoft, it's Henley and Partners, Abel and Cole, it's Financial Times, ITV, Sky, they're all like volunteering with us. There's so much goodwill around. The demand for what we're doing is growing. The scale of it is huge, but as much as anything, as much as the impact that we're having, the big thing that I'm learning every day is how much volunteering is really helping the volunteer as well. It was never something that I thought about at the beginning. But I went just as an example. So we're doing through Sport Local Action, we're rolling out our model, our person-centered food collection model. Right, we're rolling it out around other Tesco's because Tesco's asked us to. Because they measure their community impact scores quite closely. And they realize that of the stores that we're outside, they get a much higher community impact score. So people rate them a lot higher because of our presence. So clearly their shoppers like having us there. So yeah, I went I we've got a project in Austerlee. Where I went down to do some volunteering a little while ago, and I went down for 2 hours, and I ended up staying for six because you can't get much better kind of mood boost than you're at the stall, you've got people being kind, they're going in, they're getting a couple of extra things, they're popping it on the table, you're saying thank you, you're having a bit of a chat. There's nothing complicated about it, and it's just a real feel good thing. So I just thought, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to stay all day. And we're rolling it out around Elmers End, is one over in Crystal Palace Country, possibly Thornton Heath, Southwark with Millwall Community Trust. We're looking at others as well, perhaps Bradford and Manchester, to roll it out. And they just generate so much food. The Austerlee one generates about 50 to 60 1 week food boxes in the 2 days every week, which is 50 to 60 people fed for a week. It's really good. It's very good for people's very very good to get people out of the house and mental health and chatting to people. It's good.
The whole thing is incredible. I mean, and these are stats that are on your website, and these are from 2023, which is like, 2,500 active volunteers, food for over 5.5 million meals, 3,300 laptops, tablets, and computers, around 1,000 pieces of furniture and appliances that have been delivered to households, and obviously a trillion awards. I mean, the DLAG's been recognised all over the place, and I'm not talking about that in a showy off way. I'm just saying that the wonderful work that's been done is being rightly rewarded.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's really good validation for volunteers to see that, right? Some don't care, right? Some literally just turn up 9 o'clock on a Monday at Morrison's, do their shift till 12 o'clock, and go home. And you never hear from them. They're not in the groups. They don't say anything. They don't join in. They don't go to the parties. They don't, whatever. Whereas others are the opposite, and they've built community around it, and they've got really good friendships, and they go to the quiz nights and the curry nights, and they love the awards and all the rest of it. So we got, when you've got as many volunteers as we've got, there's a real range of people. And those stats, they grow. I mean, but broadly every month we're collecting and distributing about 90 grand's worth of food. It's about 2,500, 2,700 1 week food boxes. And it's, load of furniture is getting really big now. I'm doing that on 3 days a week. Laptops, loads of other stuff, even the Coke collection on Saturday. We got good numbers of coats. As I say, there's just a real ecosystem, and we kind of, it's pretty unique, really.
And your reach in terms of where you're distributing things to, is it primarily in the London boroughs of Merton and
Yes,
Kingston?
just Merton, Wandsworth, Kingston. That's and it probably always will be. And they're not dramatically affected as much as some other London boroughs, but clearly there are still major pockets of poverty, as well as a new breed of people entering poverty who aren't kind of, aren't perhaps what you'd expect. So it's really, and this is our hectic month. So we've got three of them. I mean, last year, I remember my wife reminded me at the weekend. She said, last year she was chatting to a couple of people at our gala dinner, and they said, we must make sure that we don't have two events again in November. And that's happened. We've actually got three events
Good
in
work.
November. So we've got the sleep out, we've got a big schools event on Thursday, which I'm really looking forward to, and we've got the gala. So the schools event is just where we've got 60, 70 schools coming in. We work with 185 schools across the three boroughs, and this is about talking to them about how we can deepen relationships and create new relationships with schools we're not already working with. And that could be anything from, they refer families to us who are struggling. We give them laptops as well as food, sometimes furniture, but also they might do harvest collections. We have one school, Donhead, that did a bit of a competition during the harvest festival. We ended up with 1,000 tins, right? Which is really, really handy. More harvest collections than ever. Schools asking us now. We've got a couple of schools who want collection cages in their reception, for food as kids are dropped off each day. And then the gala is we've just gone live with the auction, silent auction, and the raffle, which has been a lot of my time in the last few weeks. So we've got anything from holidays to St. Lucia and Spain, Athens. We've got Oasis, Coldplay, Six Nations, Wales, Ireland, Wales, England, Premiership rugby final, just loads and loads and loads of lots and raffle prizes, and it just kind of, it's quite reassuring how kind people are around this time, just giving us stuff that we can generate good money on.
That is amazing. And I've got to ask, is there a certain thing that you need? Is there items or something that you really need? What is the big thing for you at the moment?
Is that the easiest ask in terms of food is always the non-perishables, so tins, because you can never. I mean, we've had two or three pinch points this year, like kind of, big bright red adverts on social saying, "Hey, crisis," because, like particularly we're outside a lot of stores. We're not always inside, and if you're outside, then it's a bit weather dependent, some of the time, because people don't go shopping. And it's not really fair for us to ask people to stand outside either, plus particularly when they're not getting much from the shoppers. The second we feel the pinch, all of the partners that we supply, the food banks, etc., they feel the pinch as well. I remember the mayor of Wandsworth saying that they'd been round all the charities just a few months ago, been round all the charities in Wandsworth dealing with poverty, And they all said that, you know, they're absolutely reliant on the quantity because we generate such massive quantities of food. You know, we have completely, we did, Craig and I and Cormac, we didn't even know there was a rule book at the beginning. So we weren't ripping one up. We were just very simplistic and thinking, well, hold on. Surely you'd want people saying please and thank you rather than just sticking a cage in the corner of a shop, because cage in the corner of a shop, people forget that. We all do. We realized that we had when we were shopping. So that's the first thing. But then the second thing was, right, hold on. So most of the food poverty sector asks people who are already struggling to get on a bus or whatever to collect food and pay money to get on the bus and collect food for a family of four for a week or whatever. No, we'll drive it to them. We'll ask volunteer, we'll get a volunteer team and we'll take it to them. And then the other thing, of course, is a lot of food poverty is around waste. And everyone says, oh, it's really good to give away. And actually, no, we don't like that message very much because you're struggling. You're in a bit of paralysis because you do not have money. You don't know where your next food is coming from. You're struggling in all sorts of ways. If it's food, it's probably lots of other things as well. And we don't really think that waste food is about love, care, and dignity, which is what we're very big on, right? It's not just the food, it is showing people that we care. And so if you think about it, when people get waste food, that's kind of their thought process, oh, that's just stuff that people didn't need that they were chucking away. When they're getting food from DLAG, it is people who have specifically, kindly purchased one or two other things and deliberately given it to us, knowing that it's going out to people that need it. It's a very different message. So we think that is good for, you know, none of it's good for morale because they, you know, these people are struggling a lot. But it's a very, very different model, and I think people forget that. I think we forget that sometimes how different it is. But the scale of it is absolutely immense, and only going to get bigger because we've got this ecosystem, because we've got all this goodwill. We have a responsibility, I feel, to see what else we can do and how else we can support people in poverty. So that's what we're doing, and we'd like to share a lot of that with people in other boroughs. It's a real buzz for me to see Austerley fully up and running and generating as much food as it does using our model. And we want to, through sport local action, which I'll come on to today. So that's we want to take good things that organizations are doing and we want to roll them out around the country and show how powerful sport can be in community. And I think people are waking up to it now. I mean, the current government is looking at sports clubs and how it can tackle things like knife crime. So I think we're right on the cusp of a bit of an explosion in this kind of sport for community goods sector.
I got to ask, do you see things getting better? Because I mean, I think probably in an ideal world, you wouldn't exist, would you? I
No,
mean.
I don't know. Ideally, no, of course. No, I don't see things getting better at all. I think that, yeah, I just see budgets getting squeezed, and that's not a political thing. We're very, you know, we're not political at all at DLAG, right? In fact, as an individual, I'm not political. In the early days, I was getting called all the time, and I literally didn't know if they were blue, red, yellow, green. I'd have to look them up. I'd have to Google after they'd been on the phone, you know, and see where they were from. No, I mean, it's not going to get any easier. And I think government and local government will ask charity and will encourage charity and sport to do a lot more, because often we're the guys who can act quicker. If a house, we've had this before where family in a house, they had a fire, they were left in only the clothes they were standing up in. And the local councillor came to us and he said, look, if they go through the council's processes, this will take ages to get them the things that they need. So can you do it? And I said, yeah, just give us a list of what the family needs. So he went and sat down with them, and he sent us like a 3-page list. It was everything from pillows to bedding to pants and socks and food and microwave and everything, right? And within 24 hours, we'd given everything on that list. And we can act like that. If we need a washing machine for somebody, and if we put a note out on our borough chats, we'll have 10 washing machines in 20 minutes. Right? We could do it now as an experiment. You know, that we just get. There's so many people around us who will help. So, it's pretty powerful.
I was going to say that's a suit. I mean, you know, you talked about being a volunteer makes you feel super positive, but just hearing some of those stories, because we are so saturated with news and information about how terrible things are and that everyone is out for themselves and all that kind of stuff. But to hear stories where you could literally say, hey, someone needs something and there's 20 washing machines already up, again, continues to reinforce that generally humans are pretty good.
It really does. It really does, right? And if you link it back to the football, you know, when we were out hitting the streets with the Plough Lane Bond, like we said our message was very, you know, a couple of hundred people out leafleting. Our message was, you know, this isn't just a football stadium we're building for 3 o'clock on a Saturday. This has to be a force for good in the middle of our community, right? And that's what we've done. And it doesn't, you know, the foundation, in my opinion, may not be as good as shouting about it as we are, right? We talk a lot about successes. We talk about stats. We talk about impact. But some of the stuff they're doing is phenomenal. Like, you know, the I was just reading this evening about their veteran sessions that they have, but the dementia sessions, you know, obviously all the fitness and the wellness stuff. You know, there's an incredible amount. And it's, you know, it's not just AFC Wimbledon, but it's around, you know, lots of clubs. There is so much good stuff that's going on. It does make me positive. And equally it makes me very frustrated at a lot of the negativity that is out there because you know we're not gonna, as they say, kind of perfection is the enemy of progress or something, you know, and we're not going to be perfect, but we've got a lot of good people doing some really good things around the club. That's not being happy clappy, you know. I think the boards generally are decent, with some very good people. Of course there's some crap decisions a lot of the time. There's some crap decisions that the club makes, there's some crap decisions that DLAG makes. But blimey, people have got to try and curate their own thinking sometimes and be a bit. I mean, it's so depressing. I've got non-Wimbledon fans who look on socials and just go, what on earth's going on in that place? You know, what is, and these are people that a lot of the time deal with me on other stuff and DLAG related stuff. So what's the rest of it? Why is the rest of it so mad, you know? We make daily massive errors in DLAG on all sorts of things, right? We don't hold a post-mortem into every mistake that we've made. Let's try and make less of them. We're volunteers, or you know, or we've, you know, we've got 3 paid staff, right? Or they're under pressure because they're working bloody hard and they're gonna drop the ball occasionally. But I think we should all learn from each other a bit better, because this kind of cycle of negativity just can't be good for anybody. You know, the strategy report comes out tonight and it's like, it's not enough, it's too this, it's too that. It's okay, fine. It might not be the exact shape that you were expecting. It might not be the silver bullet for all of our financial issues. It might, you know, but bloody hell. Just calm down.
You've ruined me now, Zav. I was going to have a go about it, but no, I think you're right. You know.
Where I'm at with it, though, is that I think this is the foundation of what's special about our club a bit. And it for me, opened the eyes about what football as Saf has mentioned it, football's a force for good, right? There is a real phenomenal amount of stuff that does happen that is really good. And where I get frustrated a bit is we have a lot of people that use a lot of energy on things that are a bit irrelevant, when actually you could be out there making a difference. I mean, I'm aware of the dementia clubs and a load of stuff the foundation does, and that is brilliant. And you see that replicated in lots of other clubs around the country. And those are the brilliant things that are happening, because football clubs are stepping in where councils are cutting. They are providing the services, they are providing that support, they are becoming the hubs of communities. And that's such a positive message, and that's a positive way of thinking. And I think we need football to move more in that direction, and we need fans and supporters to realise there is such an opportunity to be involved in an amazing thing. And an amazing thing is the actual hub of your community, which is your local football club. And we're, to be honest, I think we're really privileged and lucky to have people like Zav and the people that are involved in the Plough Lane Bond, and those people that really put those hard hours and time in, people at our foundation. They're the real heroes and champions, in my mind, of our club. And that's what makes us special. And it's no wonder that, Zav's got people from other clubs in the local area kind of looking at what that model is and going, look, that is something amazing, because we've created something amazing. Well, we, Zav and Cormac,
I just think it's quite. I think what's quite
the team.
interesting about DLAG and the and Noel, fair game as well with yourself is, we were born out of activism, weren't we? The whole way that AFC came into being. And actually, right before then, people forget the fights about Dublin and merger with Crystal Palace and all the other nonsense. And I think probably that's dominated my time supporting Wimbledon. Really, from the 80s, from that 80s period onwards, we're always fighting something. We're always fighting for something positive. And now, look, we, Xavi, you're doing something positive. You're fighting continually for something positive. Now you're doing the same with Fair Game. And I'm sure you're doing it in some other way I can't quite think of. But that's what's become. We've created this sort of like this wonderful activism, community activism, and now it's being shared amongst football clubs across the country, and it's being shared. Your model, Zav, is being shared across the country as well as a model of best practice. And I'm interested, what is it you're doing with this with local sports, sport local
So,
action?
with Sport Local Action, at the very early days of DLAG, I just realised that and the scale was really just growing at such a pace that I thought if three Muppets with no experience, like me, Craig, and Cormac, from completely different backgrounds, no charity knowledge whatsoever, can launch something so impactful, that's really exciting, right? Because what if we actually found people who knew what they were doing? And so quite early, I thought, okay, let's at some point let's do something that's UK wide and big. I've always been like back in my career when I had a kind of career, it was I was running exhibitions and we had two competitors, and they were doing exhibitions in London. They were both doing two exhibitions a year in London. And I went to my boss as a young kind of 25-year-old and said, "Derek, can we start doing exhibitions as well?" And he said, "Well, I'm not sure there's space." And the industry said, "I'm not sure there's space." And I was like, thinking, "Yeah, I'm not planning for this to be just in London, guys. I want this to roll out." Anyway, 3 years after he said yes, the two competitors were still doing two shows each in London, and we were doing 30 in eight countries. Right, we were in Belgium, we're in Sweden, we're in Denmark. We were around the UK. We're in with the first shows in Ireland, right? And so I've always liked taking something and rolling it out. So with Sport Local Action, we've got some, the taking that Tesco's is one of our projects, right? That's hugely simple and hugely impactful. If we stand at a Tesco's for one day, we're likely to create food for 30 people for a week, right? And it's good for Tesco's, it's good for us, it's good for the community, nice and simple. Another project that we're active on is supporting change. That is where we're taking people in sport and helping them in their lives outside of sport. So we're working with an organisation in Cambridgeshire who are just phenomenal, called Inspire to Ignite, who are specialists in developing people. We're just workshopping it. So we're about to do workshop 4 with the co-design of what this program looks like. But we've already got a couple of companies that have said to us that they're going to take sports people and put them through their learning programs. The other one is Sports Bank, which is hugely exciting. So that is, I don't believe that any person, particularly a young person, should miss out on sport due to not having money. I've been a dad manager. I've seen my local basketball club needing to charge 79 quid a month just to get kids playing, which means that a lot of kids can't afford it, particularly from basketball's kind of heartland of kind of inner city stuff. So we're piloting it in Merton simply because I've got lots of contacts, the council, borough of sport, etc. So we've had our first workshop, which was really, really positive. And we're going to have probably 3 or 4 workshops before we've actually launched it. But it basically, it might be subs that clubs are giving. It might be more hardship fund. It might be kit. It might be a girl who is self-conscious about joining a team or going to the gym or training with other people who can't afford to have one-to-one coaching to get herself fit or whatever. But it might have coaches contributing some time, some hours into the sports bank, and then a discrete referral scheme where people get their basically refer people who might like to get some help from the sports bank, whatever that looks like. So we've got our own projects, and then we've got the bigger thing, which is a community. So it's just, if Newcastle United Foundation want to, if their council goes to them and say, "Hey, we've got a knife crime problem. Could you do something about knife crime next year?" And they agree to do so. Wouldn't it be nice if they could just go into this kind of repository and see what other clubs have done with knife crime? So QPR, Kind Prince Foundation, Newcastle could learn from QPR, and QPR could perhaps mentor Newcastle in launching something. So building a community, giving lots of knowledge, and just making it easier for sports clubs to do good things in communities. Again, I'm just building another team of volunteers like we did with DLAG. I'm excited about where that can go. I've got some really good people involved.
It's fantastic. I was picking up one thing that's interesting there is I noticed that obviously Merton are looking to be London's borough of sport. That's their big thing at the moment. And it's quite in my role, I work with Merton because we're looking at them doing some work around being a cultural impact borough. So they're doing a lot of stuff there. And similar to what you're doing with sport, I'm working with cultural and creative providers looking at how culture and creativity can help people, especially people with mental and physical ill health. There's a lot of crossover there.
Nice. Well, Merton were. I had two directors at the first workshop. They were really positive, and they're going to be very active in helping us template it, pilot it, incubate it in Merton, and then we roll out from there. But already, like, we're getting some attention for it. I mean, last week I was talking to a homeless charity, specialises in 18 to 24-year-olds in Camden, and helping them in various ways. And they'd actually had someone who they want to join the workshop, even though they're in Camden, right? So they want to join the next one. But they had someone who's in Merton who is in temporary accommodation and really, really struggling. Basically, had a couple of bereavements around them, 21 years old, and doesn't know anybody. So pretty down in the dumps. But the person's a good footballer. And really wants to meet people. So, well, that was easy. I've introduced that charity to a football club locally. The football club will fund That person to play football, so they don't need to worry about the money side of it. Hopefully they'll meet some people through that. And also use that person to volunteer around the club, which will help that person as well. So there's some really easy stuff like that we can get going.
Yeah, I mean, and it harks back to the kind of what the foundation's doing as well, because they do some incredible work for, older residents. They've got a walking football team, and then there's the, like you said, dementia work and other activities that they do. And I think that there's a really important time when people are doing these activities that just for an hour or two out of their lives, they can kind of feel like they're, doing something positive. That it does give you a lift, and it's really important work.
Yeah, definitely.
It's fantastic. I want to, sorry to say, I'm going to bring it all the way back down to us, down to Wimbledon. And obviously, there's a lot of change at the moment. And Zav, you were on for the board for a short period of time. I've got to ask you, whilst you were on it, what did you think? Was it something you were encouraging people to do? Would you encourage people? I know that we've had people stand now, but what was the great thing about being on the board?
I genuinely felt it was a real honour to be on the board. It wasn't something that I massively wanted to do, but after the bond, I felt I should, because I didn't want us to get into that mess again. So that's why I stood. And then, as Niall knows, I said, "Well, there's no way that I want to be chair." And I ended up being co-chair, but with Jane and Chris, both. They're far better wired at constitutional stuff than me, and so they were pretty good at the areas that I was rubbish at. So kind of I felt that worked reasonably well. I guess I was kind of disappointed at how immersed you get in stuff that isn't really impactful. And there's just a lot to do that I knew it was going to be busy, but I'd hoped it would have been easier to make an impact than it was. And so I guess that was a bit of a frustration. But no, I mean, I guess I'd encourage the right people to stand, right? I think you've really got to be in a place in your life where you can devote the time to it. And it is a lot of time. But they're all different eras as well. Our era was, just getting into Plough Lane, just getting used to that. And so we had different challenges to the board now, who are now, that now it's all about the roots for sustainability and how can we raise the money to be sustainable? How can we buck the trend basically of the entire football business? How can we do that? So they've got different challenges, but no, it was an honour. I watch in horror at the kind of the treatment that the cynicism that and the suspicion that people have of the boards. I just don't get it. I don't buy it. I don't see it. I think these are all good people trying to do good things who occasionally make mistakes, like we all do. It's really tough for them. But I think we've got some good candidates standing this time. I think that the boards. I think these boards are good. I really do. I think we've got some real grown-ups across both of them. And I back us to get through this, but we're not going to do it if we're all divided and looking backwards. We didn't. We were, it's so ironic. You look in December 2019, and we were faced with the ultimate kick in the teeth of our boards sitting there telling us that our only solution was to sell the club, and. We ranted and raved for about 5 minutes, dusted ourselves down, pulled our sleeves up, and the next day we're talking, we're creating a bond, right? And we did something fantastic because we were united, we had clarity of purpose, and we just did it, right? And then when COVID hit, We just got people together and did DLAG, right? Don't what's the bloody point? We could sit there and go how rubbish COVID was, how terrible it was going to be for everybody. What just yeah, let the others moan about that. That's good. Let's just make sure we get together. And you know, now we're faced with a very real challenge, you know, but we've got but we're doing it in plenty of time. We, you know, our challenge in 2027 will probably be or sorry, in 25 will probably be okay. 27 might be a bit harder, but we've got a bit of luxury of time now to get together, to have the really positive conversations about how we can how we can generate the funds needed. But we're not going to do it if we keep looking back. We've got, let's be honest, we've got people standing for, you know, people around either standing or making noise about how terrible everything is, who were there in 2019 telling us our only choice was to sell the football club. What, you know, what are we going to do? What's helpful to go on and say, hey, you made these decisions. You were terrible. 2019 wasn't, well, and now you're taking, that's not going to help. That's just divisive rubbish, right? You've got to get behind people and get and unite them. It's absolutely pointless. Just
I totally
sharing it on
agree.
social media.
I totally agree. So obviously, you know, I quit because of social media, but you know, I look at the time when Sav, me, Charlie, and a few others all came on the board at the same time, and that was probably one of the most dynamic boards. That we were doing a lot of things behind the scenes that are about sorting out the structure of the club and sorting out what we were trying to do and the direction that we wanted to build those foundations. And so, and you don't get credit for building foundations when you're a football club. So, like, you know, there was a lot of hard lifting that was going on. And it's like, as Sav says, every board has got its, because it, we have a churn. So every board takes on a kind of new phase in the history of our club. And the phase that we took on was trying to build the right foundations for the club to thrive going forward. And, you know, I look at it now and go, there's like the Craig Copes and all of that sort of stuff. The way that the club has structured itself, we can look directly back to what the conversations that we were having on the board. Slight regret would be that some of the kind of ideas that Sav and I were both espousing quite a lot, and Sav in particular, around making the club more volunteer focused and actually having more volunteers coming on board, and that kind of energy that exists there, but some of it's negative, being actually kind of going, well, almost like, what did you do to help your club? What are you doing to make AFC Women so special? And that's the bit I still think, you know, and you guys have heard me on the pod many a time saying, I think we need a volunteer manager at the club, full-time paid staff, to utilize the skill sets that exist among our fan base. And we need to kind of move away from that kind of rowdy person, the keyboard warrior moaning, to being like, well, let's become a can-do club that actually goes forward and says, right, we can make a difference. Because there's a whole lot of challenges this club have faced, and we've overcome the lot.
I worry as much for those people, really. You know, you've got to, we can all go to take it on foot, take it just to, in football terms, right? You go to the game and complain nonstop about, you know, you can always find stuff to moan about on a match day, right? Whether it is, it's a long queue to get in, you're taking ages to get a pint, your pie's cold or my pie aren't there, and the football's shit, and we just lost 1-0 to a, what you can do that. Or, you can see it that actually you know that day of the week is really special, right? You don't get a lot of time to your, people don't get a lot of time to themselves. You might as well kind of try your very best to enjoy it and not just focus on the negative stuff. So yeah, I mean, I just think we need to turn a corner soon, and we need to stop shouting about all the people that have done terrible things in the past, or you know, board behavior that people don't agree with. You know, these are all good people who are trying to do good things, who occasionally make mistakes. And we need to accept that.
Yeah, because you're right, because no one's perfect, and any and you know, these people who are shouting, if you know, we wouldn't want to be standing next to them in their job saying, are you sure that's the right thing you're doing there in your job? These people are doing wonderful things for us, and everyone is doing it voluntarily on the DTB, giving up huge amounts of time, and like you say, trying to do the right thing. And I think our board is amazing. People, I think, have got a mis conception about what it does. It's an oversight. That's what our role is oversight and strategic vision. We have a strategic vision. We want people to put it in place, and then we manage it. We see how it looks, and we come up with things. And there's a lot of stuff that we're not allowed to put in the public domain because it's sensitive. And that makes sense to me.
But even on that, even on the oversight thing, you know, you're not always going to get the perfect level of oversight. You're always going to get people who, rightly say, DTB is doing too much of that or too little or whatever. It's very, very difficult to get that balance right. You know, when you go back to the board that I was on, and there was a lot of doing, there was a lot of operational stuff that we got involved with that ideally we really didn't want to. But we were in completely uncharted territory. We're in a new stadium that we couldn't really afford, that was a little bit too big for us, that where we didn't have the experienced people around the place because we couldn't afford them to make that process really smooth. So therefore the DTB felt that it needed to get more involved. But it will never be. I just think there's, well, you know what I think? I said it. We're really, really effective as a football club when we've got a vision, clarity of purpose, and when we unite behind it. No one can beat us at it. So let's quickly turn the passion that people have got that might be a bit misplaced currently. Let's turn it into something really, really positive. I think it's a great challenge. Sit down and work out where we're going to get the money from. Brilliant.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I mean, you've talked about sort of that there is obviously a lot of work being done by the Nonsuch board who are under pressure and they get the wrong end of the stick and that kind of stuff. But you've talked about galvanizing volunteers in different ways behind certain things. I mean, it feels like we're at a turning point where we need to really galvanize more people to support the board. Zab, from your kind of experience, do you have any ideas of what that might look like in terms of getting that bigger volunteer base, because I think that's could unlock those things you've talked about.
Well, the first thing is, and I draw many similarities with DLAG, right? So the first thing is people need to understand the impact of volunteers, right? So, there's when on the board that I was on, we had a couple of sessions between staff and volunteers and trying to get a bit more harmony and less suspicion between staff and volunteers, right? Because you can understand the staff member sitting there and someone else can do it for free, and aren't they wonderful because they can give 20 hours of their time, and the staff feel threatened. And I'll be honest, those two sessions didn't work very well at all. They were really depressing, actually. But coming back to today, I think if you start with, what benefit it is to the football club and what we're all trying to achieve, what we'd all like to see, what benefit there is of having volunteers, almost have a kind of barometer that shows, right, if we have that much volunteer time, it's going to give us that much impact. Then you really get that vision clear as to how you want to use volunteers. Is it time? Is it mentoring of staff? Is it, I've got this thing where I believe if we can turn our football club, and it's three words that I believe are critical to the future of this club, right? If we can create a brilliant learning environment in our football club, then I think we will attract completely different money. Right, if someone's having their pint poured or their food served or their or nutrition for the players or coaches or whatever, if we are coaching all of if we have a proper development plan for our staff and our volunteers, if we're using if younger marketers are getting mentored by experienced former marketing agency or current marketing agency people. If the people that are serving us around the ground are coming from social mobility programs, there's no reason why. I mean, I work with the Feel Good Cafe in Southfields, right? Who have Feel Good coffee trucks, and they're all staffed by people with barriers to employment. ex-addicts, recovering addicts, ex-offenders, etc. They've got a coffee truck at Stamford Bridge. They've got one at Battersea Power Station, and they've got their cafe in Southfields, which is absolutely fantastic. Let's get as much of that around the place as possible, so that we're, because there are lots of entities out there that will fund programs that are helping people develop, right? So if we can develop our own people, if we can bring people in to the place for social mobility programs, if we can use our spaces for social mobility programs, if we can create a fantastic environment where people within the club are helping people within the club, but also that people from outside are coming in and helping with pathways, I think there's a lot in that. I want us to change the way that I want us to change and evolve the way that we sell, right? If we've got a sponsor that, or a potential sponsor, I put this on Twitter on Luke's thread the other day, but if you've got a potential sponsor, pick them up at Wimbledon Station in the D-Lag van, right? Take them to the hub, give them 5 minutes on the impact that D-Lag does. Show them where we work from. Bring them down to the stadium, show them a dementia class, right? Go outside, look at the walking football. Bump into a couple of people from the club on the way, say hi to people, go to the pub, do the detail over half a pint of Crazy Gang in our own pub in the stadium that the fans have built, right? And then when you walk past the coffee truck afterwards that's there, you say, hey, that's staffed by ex-addicts or ex-offenders. Right. And when you're writing that detail of that proposal, you're saying, yeah, we want X grand to sponsor the stand, but we want 150 laptops to help kids that can't afford to do anything from home because they don't have the devices. Let's sponsor within the package is a few quid to enable the foundation to run another two sessions a week for that group, right? And all of a sudden, you're giving that potential sponsor a story, right? You're measuring your success, not just in commercial gain, but in impact, right? And you're suddenly changing the game. You're going to, when people are making a decision on marketing at AFC Wimbledon, it's the marketing manager who's involved in it, but it's the CSR manager who's involved in it as well. And you're attracting different companies with longevity. Because then when they bring their clients and their colleagues to the stadium, they're really proud. They're puffing out their chest because they say, "Hey, we haven't just slapped a name on the stand. We've done this, this, and this." And then you're working and helping them by saying, "Hey, those people who have learnt hospitality through the coffee truck over there, through who are ex-offenders or whatever." Well, some of them might want to learn skills that can you can put them into your business. So I think we've got to think really, really differently.
So from a devil's advocate point, go on. So I want to say this from a devil advocate point of view, though, some would say, well, how does that benefit the Saturday first team men's club in the best way possible?
Oh, because the idea that it's sustainable to get companies to just slap their name on a stand or take adverts in the program, and that we're always going to have them queuing up. It's just not the way of the world now. Look at marketing agencies; they're closing down left, right, and centre. Look at radio advertising, TV advertising. Right, it's going through the floor. People aren't. There are so many different ways that you can get your information. Marketing is a real challenge now. So we've got to address how we sell sponsorship of a League Two football club. In my view, I think we have to do it completely differently. And then if we get it right, then we attract completely different audiences. There are family trusts and foundations who spend millions of pounds in developing people, right? If we've got developing people at the center of what we're doing, then there are completely different pots of money to tap into. So it's a commercial thing, right? If we don't forget about being nice, this is about making our football club as much money as we possibly can so that we can buck the trend in an industry that's broken.
Yep, and we've got such a great story to sell, which is why it makes commercial sense to do it this way. Listen, I know we've got to come towards the end because we're very professional here, and we only have a limited time on Zoom before Niall has to use it for something else. But just to say, so I've, on this, just two quick questions I've got. One is, with all those ideas, which sound amazing to me, and that's certainly, I think, the direction that we, the same woke Wombles, would like to, same old Wombles, would like to be going. Are you talking to James Woodruff? Is that a conversation that you have? Are you able to sit down with people at the club and say, "Have you thought about this? I can help you draw up a plan of action."
Yeah, very much. I have shared my kind of brilliant learning environment thoughts with them, and it was well received, and it does. And I didn't get through the door because I'm special. I just got through the door because I asked them nicely, and I had
Yeah.
and I wrote to them and asked them to see me. And I think sorry, just quickly, that is what I'd like lots of other people who have issues to do more of. Is if you've got an issue, don't post it straight away on socials. Take a breather, have a think,
Yeah.
and get in contact with the club, because I think they are actually pretty accessible. I think generally, James can't answer 100 people a day, I'm sure, but he's really receptive. He's very, I'm really confident. I think he's great, and I think he's going to do, if he's allowed to, I think he's going to, and I mean, if the fan base allows him, if the structures allow him, I think he's going to be a really good MD of this club. So with a good MD and with a great head of football,
Yeah.
I think that's the two big reasons for positivity.
And the 50.01.
Yeah, look, there's a bunch of things, including what I just talked about, brilliant learning environment,
Yeah.
which is a, that's a bigger thing. But there's a bunch of things that are all unlikely. Carrying on selling players for lots of money, as we have been doing, it's unlikely to carry on being as good consistently. Turning it into Stadium 365, that's a bit of a cliche, and that's not going to happen overnight either. That's still difficult. There are not many ways that we can generate money to buck the trend of football being broken. So I would like as many options as possible, because none of them are likely, including selling equity. So I'd like that as an option. I want us to have 100% ownership. I don't want us to have 82 or whatever we've got. I don't want us to have 75. I don't want us to have 50 plus one. I want us to have 100, but I think we must keep 50 plus one as an option, because none of them are shoo-ins.
Yeah. And I think that's what the board are asking us to do. They're not saying they're going to sell straight away. They're just saying that that is an option. And there could be other things that come up that could generate that income.
Yeah, but they're all, we're really good, and we all love what, we all love what the club does and whatever. But let's face it, I've seen people talk about other clubs, and wouldn't it be good to be like them, or do, Leighton Orient, aren't they doing well? Yeah, brilliant. They're losing 3.9 million a season, right? That's not doing well. So we've got to do something dramatically different. But we've got to keep all our options open to us, and I totally get why people don't want it. I totally get it. We've been there, and it's certainly not something to use as a stick to beat people with. But my personal view is you need as many options as possible. So I've absolutely no doubt whatsoever in a yes vote for me.
Okay, that's good to know, Zav. It's great to have you on the show. Niall, I know we're running out of time, mate. There is not going to be the football governance bills this week.
Yeah, it's Wednesday, so tune in on Parliament Channel. There should be that is another
You'll be
option
on
on the table,
TV, I'm
to be
assuming,
honest.
later on that day.
I think I'm on TV on Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm at the Etihad. I'm at the whatever that stadium is in Manchester. Anyway, I'm there on Thursday. Probably be doing some. I'm doing a big talk and probably some interviews as well on that, and maybe some stuff on Wednesday afternoon. But yeah, it's. that big bit on football distribution, financial distribution, is really key. There'll be bits about how much you're allowed to spend on players' wages to revenue, bits about how much you can have on sustainable debts. All of those things benefit AFC Wimbledon. So, they will come into play, a lot of those, within the next year and a half. And
So this
that's
is a reading,
going
so
to help us.
nothing's been decided on Wednesday. This is just a second reading of the bill
Yeah,
that's
this is
been
where all the Lords stand up and say what they actually think of the legislation.
tweaked.
So
Okay.
it's a temperature check about what the kind of mood music is in Parliament.
Okay.
And then it goes to committee stage from the 27th of November, from what I understand. And that's when you start getting all the amendments and the changes to the bill. And that's when we kind of move into overdrive. We'll do a bit before then because we need to get politicians to table it. So,
Yeah.
but we've done a lot of analysis. We've been looking at loads of stuff and it's a crucial time.
Yeah,
And when would it
definitely.
be go through now? When do you think the idea is it will go through Parliament and be It
voted
will
into
probably
law?
clear Parliament by end of January, early February. And there is a shadow regulator already in place. So, you'll have a full regulator, I would have thought, in time for the 25-26 season. A lot of those kind of rulings and kind of governance structures that will go on to clubs will come into play over the next 10 months, 12 months. So all of those stuff about your restrictions on how much you can spend, all of that will get come into play. And I think for us, in terms of our competitive balance and how well we run our run as a club, is only going to be a good thing for us. Because there's loads of clubs that aren't, and loads of clubs will fall short on all of those criteria that we do well. And that's where the financial strains on us will be more bearable than they are in lots of other clubs.
Awesome. Well, we'll chat more about this next week. Now we'll hear about your adventures. I mean, we'll have seen you on the TV and stuff, but we'll hear more about your adventures then. Thanks, Niall. Thanks, Adam. And thanks, Sam, for joining us. You can get some sleep now, my friend, because I know
Cool.
you've been, feels like you've been awake for the last however long.
Yeah, 3 weeks it feels like. Yeah, brilliant. Oh no, thanks very much for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. All right.
Right. Cheers,
We're
guys.
the Samuel Wombles. We're back.